13. Gabe lay on the narrow campervan bed. His feet hung over the edge. His arms, even folded on his chest, poked off the sides. He closed his eyes, but his mind kept on whirring away. The Bible. The notebook. The other people. He had tried Googling it, but the only things his search had thrown up were an old Netflix show and an Indian rock band. He didn't think that was what he was looking for. But then, he didn't really know what he was looking for. He didn't even know if the words had anything to do with Izzy or were just something random jotted down, like a scribble on the back of your hand to remind you to pick up milk. He opened his eyes and stared at the ceiling. There was no point in even pretending to sleep. That ship had sailed. He'd never been a good sleeper anyway, never found respite in the darkness. Every whisper of wind or slight creak of the house would send his eyes shooting open. He would lie for hours, tense as a board, staring into the shadows, senses alert, waiting for the nightmares to begin. Sometimes when Izzy couldn't get to sleep, he would curl up next to her and sing lullabies, or read her stories until they both dozed off. He never admitted to Jenny that this was as much for his comfort as hers. After Izzy vanished, the nightmares worsened, shredding his nights into sweat-soaked fragments of terror. Again and again their black claws tore him from the edge of oblivion, and he'd be screaming so hard that come the dawn, his throat would be raw and his eyes speckled with burst blood vessels. Gabe didn't really believe in karma, but there had been times in the last 3 years when he had wondered, was this it? The world's way of keeping balance, taking away the most precious thing in his life to remind him that he didn't deserve to be happy. Not after what he had done. Except, Izzy wasn't dead. Despite what everyone believed, he knew there had been a mistake. A terrible, terrible mistake. The Samaritan was right. He couldn't go to the police, not yet. First, he needed to speak to someone else. Someone he had avoided challenging, had tiptoed around, unwilling to inflict more pain. But this changed things. He had to know, for sure. He had to speak to Jenny's father. Gabe lifted his arm, checked his watch. Dawn was creeping around the campervan's thin pull-down blind. 6:30 a.m. Still early, but he had a feeling that Harry didn't sleep much either. He sat up, swung his legs off the narrow bunk, and pulled out his phone. After the funeral, Jenny's mother, Evelyn, had changed the home phone number to stop him calling, but Harry had taken pity on him and given Gabe his mobile. If you ever need to talk. Surprisingly, Gabe had found he did. Although on one occasion he didn't talk, he just wept. He typed out a text. Harry, it's Gabe. Could we meet today? His phone almost instantly pinged with a reply. 8 a.m., usual place. It wasn't a question. With a heavy heart, Gabe typed, okay. Farnfield Cemetery was an hour's drive away, not far from the home he had once shared with Jenny and Izzy in Nottinghamshire. It was as pleasant a space as somewhere like this could be. The Garden of Remembrance had plenty of green, neatly mown grass, smart wooden benches, trees to provide shade and lots of flowering bushes and evergreens. Gabe appreciated the sentiment, but he wasn't sure if it was here that people really remembered their loved ones. Memories were entwined with the everyday minutiae of life. The scent of a certain perfume. Writing a shopping list and still including Marmite because your wife loved it. Finding a mug with Best Mum in the World on it in the cupboard. A song on the radio. The smell of food drifting from a restaurant where you once shared a ridiculously expensive bottle of wine that neither of you really liked. Those were the memories that seized you out of nowhere, grabbed you by the heart and squeezed until your chest felt like it would explode. Raw, visceral, uncensored. Here, memories were filtered through rose-tinted glasses. You selected the things you wanted to remember, and put aside those you would rather forget. You left bright bunches of flowers to disguise the fact that all around you was death. Your loved ones, just a small pile of milky ashes, in an ugly pot that Gabe was pretty sure Jenny would have stuffed at the back of a cupboard, or accidentally dropped if she had received it as a present. He smiled. A real memory. Jenny was a woman of taste and limited tact. She knew what she liked, and what she didn't, and wasn't afraid to say so. He sat down on a bench and stared at her small headstone, beneath which the offensive pot was buried. Jennifer Mary Foreman, 13th of August 1981 to 11th of April 2016. Wife, beloved daughter, devoted mommy. In our hearts, minds, and memories, always. Wife. That was all they had given him. The tiniest of gestures. He hadn't been involved in choosing the headstone, just like he had been excluded from most of the funeral arrangements. At the time, he was relieved, and of course at the time, he was still under suspicion of murder. Gabriel? He started, looked around. Harry stood beside the bench. Always a well-preserved, fit-looking man, a respected doctor and surgeon in his day. Today he looked every one of his 79 years. The thick white hair was still perfectly styled, combed back from a face bronzed by regular winter sun. But there was a slight sagginess around his jaw and eyes. The lines on his forehead carved deeper. One hand leaned heavily on a stick. In the other, he held flowers. 2 bouquets. As Gabe watched, he bent and placed one in the vase beside Jenny's headstone. Then he turned to the other headstone. The one Gabe had carefully avoided looking at since he arrived. Because despite what he believed, despite what he had discovered, the sight of it still filled him with a grief that was almost too much to bear. A black, swollen tide that threatened to drag him down and engulf him. Isabella Jane Foreman, 5th of April 2011 to 11th of April 2016. Cherished daughter and granddaughter. Borrowed from heaven, returned to the arms of angels. Jenny, Izzy, it's about your wife and your daughter. Harry sat down heavily next to him. So, what do you want to talk about?